Guyana government gets IMF stamp of approval with $46 million in aid. The International Monetary Fund has given a stamp of approval to the Guyanese government of Prime Minister Forbes Burnham, with the announcement last month of financial assistance totaling 46,800 Guyanese, 46,000 rather, 46,800,000, 46.8 million. I'll get it correct here. I've been up all night. U.S. 18.4 million. The IMF aid, the result of a long process of investigation and resistance by the Guyanese government to intrusions in their financial and their banking affairs, with a long pause, as I said, after the strong results of this process of investigation into the financial health of the country also, was expected to be announced after last July's referendum. The only surprise was that quantum, but the indications are that more IMF aid will be forthcoming in a year's time, provided the Guyanese government is able to meet the conditions laid down. Guyana is looking for all sorts of other areas of agreement. At this very hour, Dr. Ptolemy Reed, our good friend and Deputy Prime Minister, is in Moscow, because the Guyanese government has said they will never go through what Jamaica has gone through and be victims of outside influence. Fortunately, the difference between Jamaica and Guyana, nearly 90% of all of the land belongs to the government and is expropriated for the people. The major conditions for IMF assistance include a 5% real growth, slashing the balance of payments deficit from 23% to 10%, increasing the public sector surplus from 76,000 to 130 million, and reducing the foreign commercial debt from 100 million to 75 million. The government will receive first 19.5 million from the IMF in the form of a one-year standby credit to assist the administration in bringing about economic stability, and later another 27.3 million under the IMF's compensatory financing facility to meet shortfalls in the 1977 export. Also, it's been reported that they have not been so quick to hand out money to Guyana as they were Jamaica, is because Jamaica was much more gracious in their allowances for the multinationals to operate inside Jamaica, whereas Guyana has not allowed any multinational to operate inside this country. Prior to the announcements, Guyana was owing the IMF about 70.2 million. Prime Minister Forbes Burnham, speaking at a press conference within days of the IMF agreement, said that as a result of the IMF assistance, investments for three major drainage and irrigation projects costing some $397 million are assured, and since the local cost element are now provided for. The Prime Minister said that the target set for economic recovery and for socialist development were stringent and hard, but not at all impossible, and he gave his absolute assurance that they were much the same as those set by the government itself in building socialist self-sufficiency. He said, "We will not become the tool of any nation or any financial bloc. Obviously, conscious of the what happened in the case of Jamaica when it failed to meet the IMF. Jamaica also was a socialist country, I guess a socialist democratic government, you might say social democracy. Obviously, Dr. Burnham, conscious of what happened in the case of Jamaica's situation when it failed to meet the IMF conditions before getting a $240 million IMF loan last July, Prime Minister Burnham told the press that his government had no intention of allowing the country to suffer embarrassment and humiliation or in any way have to get on their knees to the capitalist world again, which could rise if the targets were not met, thus placing the IMF standby credit in jeopardy. Thus far, news has it on the grapevine that Guyana has not taken the second small phase of the IMF, and it is rumored, which we cannot tell, all we know, that Dr. Reed is in Moscow trying to work out some arrangement at this very moment. He is in Moscow at this very moment trying to work out some arrangement whereby they won't have to depend on IMF at all. Anyway, the government's parliamentary opposition, led by Dr. Chetty Jagan of the People's Progressive Party, remember the parties, the People's National Congress is the party that is in power. Our Prime Minister is Forbes Burnham, the Deputy Prime Minister, who's been a very good friend and chairman of the policy party, is the People's National Congress. Dr. Chetty Jagan's People's Progressive Party sees the IMF agreement as being a trap for a government which, in spite of its socialist intentions, remains and will become heavily indebted to the capitalist system, and which will also be guilty of gross economic mismanagement if they accept this. However, as I say, I know a little bit more about what's happening at this stage anyway than does the opposition. According to Dr. Jagan, with the Guyana dollar devalued in real terms, and this we will be told of, we were told the moment it would happen, and we know that's going to happen all over the world. Dr. Mingle told us that, our good friend. According to Dr. Jagan, with the Guyana dollar soon to be devalued in real terms before the IMF agreement because of the shrinking U.S. dollar to which it is linked. Do you, how you that think USA is so powerful, here is a little third world nation, even though it's the most fertile, 83,000 square miles, only 700,000 people live on it, the most rich place to live in the entire world, but yet economically a very small nation. How much value has the Guyanese dollar lost to the U.S. dollar? Well, I'll tell you how much. The dollar was and is presently worth $2.57. In a short time, in a matter of days, the dollar will be worth $2.15. That's how valuable your money is in the U.S. That's how effective the capitalist system is working. Not working very well when Guyanese currency becomes almost, it keeps it up, it'll be on equal par. And with no real growth in gross national product over the past 7 years, the IMF has clearly placed the Guyanese people under a more severe strain in order to meet its own criteria for economic development. The opposition parliament did credit the Prime Minister for being careful not to allow multinationals that usually go hand in hand with the IMF to gain a foothold in Guyana. The 1977 World Bank Atlas on Production per capita product and growth rate listed Guyana's GNP per capita real at 1.5% for the 1960-75 period, and a mere 1 point period, and a mere 1% between 1970 and 75. During the same period, population growth declined from an annual 2.1% to 1.9%. However, while the opposition was reciting the spiraling cost of living, Prime Minister Burnham was working rapidly and showing that his government was taking all necessary measures to ensure that we achieve our targets and ensure sustained growth of the economy. It has been courageous indeed that our Prime Minister has banned certain foods from USA and certain luxury items and told us to be self-sufficient, because if we were dependent upon U.S. economy, the same thing could be done to us that was done to Cuba when the USA put a total economic boycott around that beautiful free nation. Meanwhile, the 1977 Bank of Guyana report released around mid-last month disclosed that the public sector had failed to increase profits to any considerable degree last year, and that total economic output would be no more than a gain of 2%. It is a tough time, and we know that, and we are in that struggle with Guyana. Some of the brave nations, Mozambique has IMF, and they certainly have been bravely resisting the terrible Union of South Africa and the U.S.-equipped planes from Ian Smith's treacherous illegal regime of Rhodesia. And the same with Zambia. Zambia has certainly been an ally to the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front. Not once have they failed to give complete support to the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front, even though they have had their own villages bombed out every day of this week. They continue to give support, refuge, and asylum to the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front, which are the only true leaders of that country that the man wants to call Rhodesia, but the Africans proudly call Zimbabwe. So stand by, I have a question that's come up. 600 kilometers from Tehran, Iran, was totally destroyed by earthquake. The water and electricity supplies were cut off. Houses simply collapsed. According to the government spokesman, 85% of the 12,000 population are either dead or injured. A convoy of trucks and organized troops were dispatched to the area, along with 5 plane loads of supplies and a 60-field-bed hospital. Because of the rough terrain and the damage to the road, there are doubts of how much we'll be able to get through. The Shah of Iran has declared 3 days of national mourning for the catastrophe. The Shah didn't need an act of nature working against him. There are rebellion. I never like to call people struggling for their rights rioters. There are rebellions in nearly every city of Iran. It has gotten into the hundreds of thousands. There were 100,000 people that attempted to meet Chairman Hua from China to show their disapproval for Chairman Hua of the People's Republic of China for having anything to do with the dread Shah of Iran, who his secret police was trained directly by our CIA. The Camp David summit talks are in their 15th and final day. President Carter met Sunday morning with Egyptian President Anwar Sadat as the 11-hour negotiations continued without pause. A spokesperson said there were intensive discussions with and among all three delegations, who are illegally deciding the fate of nations that are not even participants. He said Carter expects to meet with Israel Prime Minister Begin sometime this afternoon. Carter met with Begin Saturday evening for almost 4.5 hours. How the summit talks will end still remains an uncertainty. For 13 days now, the three leaders have been seeking a framework for peace that will guide future negotiations, but the goal so far has eluded their grasp. However, there was a late news report, not clear because there's too much static, that Carter and Begin did reach some proposal. I hope it's not the proposal that they will establish a U.S. Air Force base that USA openly admitted that they had intentions of doing so, and the Soviet Union said that they would find intolerable. We will give you the news as we hear it, because I know some of your radios don't come in very clear. John Vorster, dictator of Union of South Africa, apartheid regime, where our brothers and sisters live in camps that are worse than chicken coops, and have to walk miles from the city, degraded when they do work for the man in the city, then walk the streets. Now it looks as if the U.S. has planted neutron bombs there. What possible reason would they have for that bomb that they proudly call the Nigger Bomb? The Air Force does. Anyway, John Vorster is expected to resign this week. The report says Mr. Vorster, who was hospitalized earlier this month for exhaustion and bronchitis, will retire for reasons of health. There is speculation that he will become Prime Minister in 1966. Observers say that the race for his successor is now down to 4 men, the Defense Minister, the African Affairs Minister, the Foreign Minister, and the Mines Minister. However, for your information, it makes little difference because the U.S. multinational corporate elite continue to control our brothers and sisters, black, brown, and Asian, living in pure hell every day, every hour of their life. We should work, we should toil the fields so that we can make money, not only to save the people here, but that we can reach out and touch those that are struggling all over the world. We have conscience, that's what we will do. It is hell what they have done. Remember the picture that we showed you the other night on Union of South Africa with Sidney Poitier, and how terribly, terribly unjust the conditions of South Africa are. Remember, it was said by CBS that Union of South Africa could not be maintained one day without U.S. aid. It was found that U.S. multinationals had given billions of dollars just a few days ago, secretly, not to mention $447 billion that are taxes, which makes me somewhat guilty. I don't know about you. Went to that dreaded fascist regime. Direct discussions between the South African government and the 5-member Western Compact Group on Namibia continued over the weekend. The South African foreign minister met in Pretoria with the ambassadors from the United States, Britain, France, West Germany, and Canada. The 5 nations have helped to negotiate a UN-backed plan for Namibian independence. South Africa, while basically approving the plan itself, has objected to many of the steps considered necessary by United Nations officials to carry it out. The South African foreign minister also discussed the government objections in a telephone conversation Saturday with a British foreign secretary, David Owen. He said they discussed a letter sent to him by the foreign minister of the 5 Western countries. But he did not disclose the letter's contents. However, it is thought that secretly the Union of South Africa has no intention of keeping its agreement with the Union, with the United Nations, to turn over Namibia at the end of this year. That's why the Soviet Union has had nothing to do with this. That's why there were 2 abstentions, 2 that voted against this proposal, the Soviet Union and China. I mean the Soviet Union and Czechoslovakia, because they called it nothing more than just a mock game, just making mockery out of people's hopes for justice. Southern Lebanon, for another six months, the 15-member council is expected to approve the extension. UN reports also say that the council is expected to launch a new diplomatic move aimed at setting up a security system for both Israel and Lebanese Christian militia forces, while restoring Lebanese government control in southern Lebanon. Meanwhile, Radio Jerusalem reports renewed overnight shelling exchange between Christian militia and Palestinian guerrillas in southeast Lebanon. There are no reports of casualties. Due to medical advice, I'm taking it easy, but I want to say we all say with a great heart, saddened heart, that a comrade of ours who seems like to us we've known him from the beginning, he fit into us, our community, just like a part of a family. We wish comrade Mark Lane all of our love and affection. He always has a place with us, no matter what kind of weather, whether it's fair or foul, there'll be a house here. And as long as we eat, he shall eat. I know all of you feel that way. We appreciate all the advice and all the help he's given us, far more than I could begin to elaborate on at this time. Blasting off over here. Come and turn this son of a bitch off. Would you be user? I would like to say that not only has our counselor been a legal friend to us in setting up a team that's going to chase this conspiracy to the very highest levels of government, but he's going to see that those who have been so devious that they even brought about the death of Chris Lewis are exposed for the murderers they are. Not only that, he suggested security for us, which the government has approved, so you'll be seeing people with objects, and from now on we will not have to worry about people coming in bothering us or causing difficulties in our community. We are not going to be defenseless. That's the assurance. We're not to talk about that, but that's the assurance that we're given by government. Believe me, we will be able to take care of ourselves. Everybody that's been here has suggested that we should be armed in a very sophisticated fashion, and I'm not just talking about guns. So I thought that might ease your mind, that we will not have any more of these situations and little games that people want to play. We continue with the news. In Beirut, Syrian troops of the Arab Deterrent Force and Lebanese right-wing Christian militia held their fire. Remember, tonight is the People's Rally, the town forum, and our testing time for our current knowledge of news, prizes for those that show their achievement in that area and in other areas of skills, particularly production. We want the analysts to bring up all production skills where people are producing extraordinary, because the production of a hand is no less of importance. In fact, in our situation, in many ways, it's more important than the production of the head, though we have found a healthy and beautiful cooperation of both mind and manual labor, where we have no elite here, where all of us go and do the heavy work and take our turn. And that certainly is a delightful experience. There's nothing makes one feel so good. When I unloaded that wagon load of wood, oh good Lord, it was a big load, but I never had a better afternoon. Every pore in my body felt purified. Work is a good ethic. That's one thing the Americans have always talked about, the work ethic. They've misused it, exploited the poor, but work is a very fun thing. The medical associations of BBC, in one of their announcements, an AMA, say that they that live longer have no cancer, rarely have blindness, and hardly any of the debilitating diseases, no arthritis, no kidney failure. None of those situations are the people that work not just hard, get this now, strenuously, work strenuously. And we are in a society that tries to teach us to do everything to avoid work. Well, we certainly can say that we have a lot of beautiful seniors here who have proved what work has done. They're lively, their smile is always there, and let us remember to keep our smile for our neighbor. A smile we can always give, but we see people like Ever making her lovely rugs at 107 years of age. Pop Jackson, always full of energy and smiles, 104 years, making his chairs every day, and not in an infirm condition. So some of you may take note of that, the few that don't like to do work and won't. You are the law. You are the person that loses. But more than that, morally, let us think how much we can give to the struggle, how many people we could liberate. We have over 163 from the prison systems alone begging, white, black, Chicano, Indian, begging through church people who are our friends to please let them come over here to start a new life, that they know that they're dead if they go out on the streets. We would like to do something about that. We adopted two fine young men yesterday, but we have limited means. It means we must work, and we will have to put more energy now than we would ordinarily, because we've got a lot of housing to be built. 101 new houses that would have been built by now if it had not been for the harassing elements of the CIA conspiracy against us. Finishing the news. Demonstrations numbering 200,000 marched through the streets here last week, demanding a new Israeli move for peace in the Middle East on the eve of the Camp David summit huddle, which was to bring Premier Menachem Begin and Egyptian President Anwar Sadat together with U.S. Carter. Compromise is not a dirty word, said one of the slogans unveiled at a City Hall Plaza rally, where speakers denounced the Begin government's policy of erecting new settlements in the occupied West Bank, which they said is sabotaging the peace progress. We are glad to see that there is that kind of resistance, even in Israel, to imperialist designs. Certainly been very, very evidenced. We can't possibly write off the number of communists and socialists and trade unionists that are active in the nation of Israel. National boycott supported Shreveport, Louisiana. An unprecedented action, probably fraudulent, it is an action usually when a church does this. The Presbyterian Church of the United States has become the first major religious denomination to endorse a consumer boycott of the National Corporation for this summer only. Well, that's nice of them. The boycott is aimed at halting the Swiss-based company's promotion of infant formula in third world countries. The organizers of the boycott, a Minnesota-based group called Infant Formula Action Coalition, has charged that the company's promotion of infant formula in third world countries has resulted in malnutrition among many infants whose mothers can afford to buy some but not enough of the formula. Meeting here, the church's highest governing body called on Presbyterians and other persons of goodwill to participate in the boycott and refuse to buy the Nestle products. Among the better known Nestle products are such things as Nestle chocolates and chocolate bars, Nestle cooked toasties, Choice Coffee, Sunrise Coffee, Nescafe, and Nestea. I shall hope that there is an apathy that can be overcome in the United States about a number of matters. At times I wonder if the U.S. has just about gone so far asleep you can't be woken. But miracles happen, and we shall all be...